And let us worship God in the singing of Psalm 145, verses 9 to 18, in the order of service, the first singing in the order of service. Good unto all men is the Lord, for all his works his mercy is. Thy works all praise to thee afford, thy saints, O Lord, thy name shall bless. The glory of thy kingdom show, shall they and of thy power tell, that so men's sons his deeds may know, his kingdom's grace that doth excel. Psalm 145, and after the singing of the psalm, we remain standing for prayer. Let us pray. O great and eternal God, we bless and worship thy holy name. We bless thee that thou hast looked upon the children of men, that thou hast sent redemption to thy people, and commanded thy covenant forever. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men, and that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We thank thee that he is the all-sufficient Saviour, and that we can draw near to thee as to a throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We pray that thou wilt look upon us and enable us to worship thee. For though thou art greatly to be praised, yet, O God, such is our natural sluggishness that we are slow to magnify thy name. Therefore we pray that thou wilt grant to us the blessing of thy Holy Spirit and enable us to worship thee, the living God. Especially we pray for thy blessing upon Timothy and Allison, that thou wilt bless them in this service of worship and throughout the day, and that thou wilt bless them all the days that thou hast granted to them to live together in this world as heirs together of the grace of life. Hear us then, O gracious God, and leave us not, but cleanse away all our sins for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Would the congregation please be seated. We read the word of God in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. And from verse 26, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for me. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. May God bless his own word to us. We are gathered here in the presence of God and before this congregation to join together this man and this woman in marriage. Marriage is a holy estate instituted by God and hallowed by our Lord's gracious presence at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. It is commanded by God, in the Word of God, as honourable in all, and as signifying the mystical union between Christ and His Church. It was ordained for the continuance of family life, that children, who are the heritage of the Lord, should be duly nurtured and trained up in godliness. It was ordained for the welfare of human society, which can be strong and happy only where the marriage bond is held in honour. It is therefore not to be entered upon lightly or unadvisedly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of God, with due consideration of the purpose for which it was ordained. And into this holy estate, Timothy and Alison now desire to enter. If I may now speak to Timothy and Alison, I require and charge you, as you will answer at the day of judgment, that if either of you do know any impediment why you may not be lawfully joined together in marriage, that you now confess it. And to the congregation, I call upon you to witness who are here present. Moreover, if there be any of you who know that there is any lawful impediment to this marriage, let him now declare it, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. No one has shown any just cause why Timothy and Alison may not lawfully be joined together in marriage. Due notice has been given, a license or schedule has been issued, and the way is now open for the ceremony to proceed. Would the congregation please stand? Who gives this woman in marriage?
I do.
As a seal of the vows you're about to make, please give each other the right hand. All right, Timothy. I, Timothy John, do take thee, Alison Naomi. To be my married wife. In the presence and in the presence of God. And before this congregation. Promise and covenant. To be a loving. And faithful husband unto thee. Until God shall separate us by death.
I, Alison Naomi,
do take thee, Timothy John,
to be my married husband,
and do in the presence of God,
and before this congregation,
promise of covenant.
To be a loving, faithful,
and obedient wife unto thee, until God shall separate us by death. You have taken each other in the sight of God to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and honour, so long as you both shall live. For as much as you have covenanted together in holy wedlock, and have declared the same
before God and these witnesses, I pronounce you to be husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now call upon Mr. Roberts to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty and most holy God, we come with worship and adoration to bless thy sacred name, who in thy goodness has given the institution of marriage to man and woman in this life. And we have heard these solemn vows which our beloved young friends have taken in our presence, as also in thy presence. And we thank you, Lord, that they not only take these words solemnly, but also have given themselves to thee first, as those who believe thy word and the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we seek thy richest benediction then to come upon them from this day, as they are man and wife, and that goodness and mercy may follow them all the days of their life. And when they come to the end of this earthly pilgrimage, that they might, though they have to part with one another for a time, meet again in that happy land above, where thy people, O Lord, shall meet to part no more. Bless them abundantly, and do thou strengthen them in every duty to serve the Lord with all their heart. These great favours we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen. Everyone, please be seated. Mr. Roberts will now continue to lead us in worship, and in particular, the preaching of the Word of God.
Now let us read in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and reading in chapter 5. I shall begin the reading at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it,
even as the Lord, the Church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the Church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. It is a very great honour and privilege which has been given to me to take part in this beautiful wedding ceremony today. And I want to speak briefly on the subject of marriage as we have it found in Ephesians, especially chapter 5 at verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the Church. Here in this amazing chapter, the Apostle Paul weaves two things together. He weaves together the human and the superhuman. He weaves together the earthly and the heavenly. He weaves together the temporal and the eternal. Marriage is a very beautiful thing. We feel that instinctively when we see this young couple standing here. Our hearts go out to them with a great affection and love. It is a beautiful thing, a God-given blessing to mankind. Best of all, marriage is the institution of God. It was not invented by clever men or philosophers, but the Almighty himself, as we heard in the reading earlier by Mr. Silverside, it is God's institution for mankind. It's very interesting, in the early chapters of Genesis, repeatedly, when God is creating the world in 6 days, the phrase is repeated, it was good, it is good, it is very good. But then a little later on, God says about something, it is not good. And as we read that passage, God says it is not good for the man to be alone. And therefore God gives him a companion, a woman. And instinctively, Adam knows that she is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She is his true God-given companion. Now, my beloved friends, Matthew Henry, the great commentator, makes a profitable observation concerning the creation of the woman. He says, it's not from Adam's head to be his ruler, nor from his foot to be his servant, but from his side to be his beloved companion. And that is the true nature of married life. She is at his side to be his companion. The mathematics of marriage are very special. 1 + 1 in marriage equals 1. And that is unique to the whole mathematical world. But it is true in relation to man and woman in marriage. Now, all of this is a relationship between Christ and the Church. This is the heavenly dimension. This is the supernatural dimension. And it staggers our thought, because the bridegroom is Christ, and the bride of Christ is the church. And the church, of course, means not a lovely building like this, but it means all those who are true believers in Jesus. That is the meaning of the word church. All who trust in and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ loved the church so much that he took our human nature into union with himself and became the God-man. Oh, friends, this is the miracle of all miracles, that God should take our human nature and become both God and man. Not simply for 33 years in this world, but forever. He has kept his human nature so that in the glory of heaven above, he will give total happiness, perfect happiness to his beloved people, his church, who have come in this world to believe in him. My privilege is not to know many people here very well. It may be, for all I know, that there are some here who have never come to put their trust in Jesus. Well, with all the love of my heart, beloved friends, whether you be young or old, may I say to you, there's only one way to get to heaven and the happiness of heaven. And that is to come to Christ in this life. Because the only ones who will be in heaven eternally are Christ and his church. Nobody else will be in heaven. There will be no unbelievers in heaven. But there will be Christ and his church. So we have to get married to Christ in this life. And that's another way of saying we need to come to put our trust in him and give our heart to him. And if we do, he promises he will receive us unto himself. And he promises that when we leave this world, he will receive us into that everlasting happiness which will be for all the people of God in the Heavenly Father's house above. Now, marriage only has its true meaning when understood in the light of the Bible. And that's why we read the Bible at marriage ceremonies. It is the institution of God. It is God's provision for man and woman in this life. And therefore, we need to recognize that it's an astonishing privilege that God has given this gift to mankind. Man, that is to say man and woman, are the highest creatures in this earthly realm. Angels, however, are above us in the heavenly realm. But angels are not given the institution of marriage. They do not marry. Angels do not have children or families as we do. But God has given to mankind this wonderful institution whereby man and woman come together, they become the head of a family. And they enjoy one another all the days of their life in this world. They are given to each other as a means of strength to each other. They rejoice together, and sometimes they have to suffer together. Both of these things belong to the experience of those who are married in this life. But when, as Timothy and Alison, their hearts are given to Christ, they know very well that when they leave this world, they will have Christ forever, and they will have one another forever. You see, that is the glory which the Christian has. All his happiness is related to Jesus. Oh, how beautiful is that story in Luke chapter 2 where Jesus goes to the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Oh, how beautiful it is when we see in John's Gospel, rather, not Luke, in John's Gospel where Jesus goes to the wedding in Cana of Galilee, how beautiful it is when we see Jesus there present, giving by his very presence his approval of this wonderful divine institution. The man and his wife become one. And we're all delighted and happy today to see these our beloved friends in this position. And our hearts go out to them, and we pray that God may bless them with long life and prosperity, and give unto them all the blessings of heaven above and of the earth beneath, to give them their heart's desire in all things, so that they might be glad and examples of everything good as they continue together as man and wife in this present life. But of course, marriage points towards the world to come. It reminds us of that wonderful relationship between the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and all his beloved people for whom he shed his blood. And it reminds us that the consummation of all our happiness as believers will be when we come to see him face to face. Wonderful words of Saint Augustine of old, speaking to God, he says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our heart is restless till we find our rest in thee." Man was meant ultimately for the enjoyment of God, and nothing but God can give to mankind their truest and fullest happiness. So that is how it is that the Apostle Paul binds together the earthly and the heavenly. The happiness we have as man and wife when bound to one another in marriage is a reminder to us of that ultimate, eternal happiness which we are to have with Jesus when we come into that Heavenly Father's house above, where he now is, waiting for all his people, out of all the nations of mankind, Jew and Gentile, East and West, North and South, when all his people who believe in him come at last at the sound of the trumpet to rise to meet him in the air. Then that will be the consummation, the glorious time when Jesus will say to them, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And we see his reference to the foundation of the earth there reminds us that we do not choose Christ, but we are chosen to become the disciples of Christ. All is of divine grace. It's all eternal divine goodness. And that's why it is that John can say, "We love Christ because he first loved us." And yet here's the wonder and the goodness of God, beloved friends, that if we be not Christians, God throws the gospel before you with perfect freedom. He welcomes everyone to put their trust in Christ. You know, it's a mystery of Scripture I can't explain, that it grieves God when people refuse the gospel. He tells us again and again he would far rather that people came to put their faith in Christ than that they turned their backs and walked away. You might say, why does God think like that? He needs nothing. We can add nothing to God. He's perfectly happy. And yet we find Jesus weeping over sinners who would not come to him, that he might have life and have it more abundantly. So the gospel is freely, fully offered to all, as many as wish to come. So if you happen to be here today on this beautiful occasion, and it may be that you're not yet personally a convinced, converted Christian, you've never had this experience of new birth, then, as I close today, beloved friends, on this most happy occasion, let me say to you, oh, that you would make this beautiful occasion still more beautiful by you giving your heart to Christ. Nobody would be happier than the married couple today if you were able to say to them someday, "Oh, that was the day when I saw a beautiful wedding and a beautiful Saviour too, and I gave my heart to him." And if that's your experience, then you will be with all God's people at last in that happy and blessed place where the inhabitants shall not say, "I am sick," where sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There'll be no more pain or tears, because in heaven eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man those wonderful things which God has prepared for them that love him. May God bless to us our meditation on his word, and let us now sing in Psalm number 98 to the tune Creditor. I'll read the first two stanzas of the psalm, Psalm 98. "Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he hath done. His right hand and his holy arm him victory hath won. The Lord God his salvation hath caused to be known, his justice in the heathen sight he openly hath shown." Let us sing Psalm 98. explain now, I shall close this beautiful meeting with prayer in a moment, but I want you to understand that we will give thanks for the food which we're shortly to have, so we will say the grace, and then I'll pronounce the benediction, and then this meeting will be closed. Let us pray. Almighty and most holy God, we thank you for the privilege of having witnessed this most beautiful occasion this day. And we pray thy richest blessing upon those who have taken vows in our presence and in thy presence to be man and wife. We thank you, Lord, for their love for Jesus Christ as well as for one another. And we all unite in this desire that thy richest blessing would be upon them, and that they might be given long life and prosperity, so much as is consistent with thy glory and their good, and that thou wouldst help them in all life's trials and demands, and give unto them that constant sense of thy presence, that goodness and mercy may follow them all the days of their life, and that they might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And bless them, O Lord, that they might honour thee, as we know it is their desire to honour thee, by keeping carefully to thy word, by seeking first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and by loving one another and helping one another in all life's trials. And so we commend them to thee and seek thy blessing upon them. And now, gracious God, as we go to take food together, we thank thee for food and drink and all the mercies of this life, and seek thy loving blessing and benediction upon all that we say and do, and that we might be conscious of thy presence with us, as Christ was present at the wedding in Cana of old. So may he be with us this day, to sanctify our thoughts, our speech, our behaviour, and we might seek to do all things to the glory and honour of God. And now, Lord, may the grace of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.